Well, as some of you may or may not know, today is the second Sunday of the season of Epiphany. And even though Epiphany is not really something that we celebrate or recognize in our Protestant evangelical tradition, for most of the Catholic and Orthodox traditions, it is an event to which they do commemorate. And what they commemorate is the manifestation of God in the person of Jesus Christ, essentially with the three kings that went to see Jesus when he was born as a baby, and then in the Eastern tradition where they recognize and see Jesus' divinity being introduced to the world through John's baptism. This is an important season, I think, for us because it focuses our attention on the concept of belief, and particularly our belief in the person for whom we proclaim to believe in as God's people. This is a season as well. This is a season for us at Killary Park as we transition from the discipleship theme of belonging to believing. And so that's what we're going to be focusing on through this next couple of months. As stated last Sunday, biblical belief is not simply giving a mental agreement to a certain set of facts about Jesus' existence, as we covered last Sunday, because there are many in our world today who do recognize and believe that Jesus really did exist, but committing to the reality that he is, not just that he existed, but he truly is the Son of God. You know, speaking about commitment, I'm going to ask this question, and maybe some of us don't really want me to ask this question, but how many of us today have stuck with their resolutions for their new year? Did any of us make any New Year's resolutions? No? Okay, that's okay. Well, it's still a widely accepted practice, but it's also accepted that most people who start off the new year with a resolution often give it up by the second week of January. So that's it. But just for fun, let's look at what some of the top 10 resolutions for 2024 were as compiled by Forbes magazine. See if they sound familiar to you. Improve fitness, improve finances, improve mental health, lose weight, improve diet. I thought those two went together. You lose weight when you improve your diet. Anyway, make more time for loved ones, stop smoking, learn a new skill, make more time for hobbies, improve work-life balance. I think these are all very good aspirations, don't you agree? And they all have this overall theme of personal improvement or well-being. Now, just in case you didn't know, that there's actually also a top 10 resolutions by Christians. And this was compiled by Christian Post magazine. And this is what theirs are. So apparently, the top 10 resolutions by Christians are improve health, exercise more, spend more time with loved ones, better diet, acquiring new skills or hobbies, quitting bad habits, spending less time online, and engage more in community volunteering. As you can see, that there are a lot of common aspirations between Christ followers and the society in which we live in. And it begs the question then, what distinguishes God's people as Christ's followers? Well, today, in our passage in John, we're presented with the narratives of Jesus' disciples and their shared hope and desire for the Messiah, not just a Messiah. Essentially, the word Messiah means anointed one, and really, they were seeking not just an anointed one, because they could have definitely just followed John the Baptist, who was anointed of God. But as John himself said, as we covered last Sunday, that he is not the one who is the Christ, but rather the one who will prepare the way for the Christ. and essentially was pointing them to the Anointed One. When we read through the Gospels, and there are four Gospels in the New Testament, the Gospel writers sought to distinguish Jesus in their own writing style and to different audiences, yet telling the same story that Jesus is not just another God among other gods, nor some self-proclaimed God, as the people of the Roman Empire saw in the Caesar, who essentially proclaimed himself a god, but actually God himself. And Epiphany is that season to reflect on Jesus' revelation and what this means for us as God's people and our belief, as it itself changed the lives of his first followers. So our passage today is in John chapter 1, verse 43 to 51, as outlined in the Revised Common Lectionary. And yes, it is a slight departure from our focus in Mark's Gospel, which we will return to in the following weeks. So what is happening in this passage? This passage narrates the call of Philip and Nathanael, which is actually an extension of the account that's also recorded in Mark's Gospel in chapter 1, verse 16 to 20. In Mark's Gospel, these passages describe the response of Simon, Andrew, James, and John to Jesus' call to follow him. And I invite you to read that Gospel on your own time. In the Gospel of John, we do also see the same narrative of the response of Andrew and Simon to Jesus' call to follow him. We see that in verses 35 to 42. We actually learn that Andrew was originally a disciple of John the Baptist, who then goes and shares his experience, his testimony, with his brother Simon, for whom Jesus then meets and renames him Peter, or the Rock. Verse 37 states that when John the Baptist proclaimed Jesus to be the Lamb of God, and we see this in the previous verses 29 and 34, Andrew and his unnamed friend immediately follow him, as in they literally just walked towards and wanted to follow Jesus, seeking to catch up to him as he's walking along. And this was most likely to inquire further about who he was. Now, Jesus senses these two guys, these two fellows, following him, and then interacts with them, asking them, "What is it that you want? What is it that you seek?" And interestingly, the reply is, "So where are you staying tonight?" Very strange way to respond. But yet, in that little interaction, what we learn is that they essentially invite Jesus, or actually Jesus invites them, to the place that he's going to be staying, and they spend the day with him. And by that end of the day, they're convinced that they have found the Messiah, or the Anointed One. After this encounter, John's Gospel describes the calling and responses of Philip and Nathanael. Like Andrew and Simon, Philip's response to Jesus was similar in that he recognized Jesus' authority and divinity, prompting Philip to humbly follow. Nathanael, on the other hand, was more skeptical until he encountered Jesus for himself. In his mind, by his response, when Philip says, "This guy is from Nazareth," he says, "How can anything good come out of Nazareth? It's a backwater town. The Messiah, the Anointed One, wouldn't come from some backwater town like Nazareth, but rather would come from the holy city like Jerusalem." However, it's only when Jesus reveals his supernatural knowledge that he saw him under the fig tree that moved Nathanael to confess him as the Son of God. And we probably think about that and go, wow, that's kind of weird that he, you know, immediately confessed him to be the Son of God because he was able, Jesus was able to, as I said, reveal this supernatural knowledge. However, what we're missing here is a prophecy from the prophet Isaiah about who the Son of God would be. And that is what Isaiah says. There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, and the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. In short, the future Davidic king had been prophesied would have God's Spirit on him. And we definitely saw that last Sunday when we look at Mark chapter 1, that when Jesus was anointed, when Jesus was baptized, that God's Spirit immediately fell upon him. And by having this Spirit, he would have supernatural knowledge. Another fact that is often we don't may not know is the fact that there were many others throughout Israel's history who had proclaimed themselves to be the Messiah, but turned out to be false. And so that was where, so what we have in Nathanael is this skepticism, but it's not skepticism because he didn't believe in God, nor that he did not believe that God would provide or that the Messiah would come, is that there have been others who had come before and had failed. Now, what's interesting is Jesus then goes on to say that his belief would be further strengthened by future miracles, and that he would witness more than his ancestor Jacob, who saw angels descending from heaven to earth, implying a coming and going of God's messengers. Now, of course, we read that today and go, what's he talking about, this Jacob's ladder? But at the time, we also have to step into that mindset and into that worldview that God would use angels to be his messengers, and that indeed, that these messengers did come and go. But in Christ, in Jesus, that the Son of God, Jesus, would replace this latter vision, and that essentially that his that God's indwelling would be on earth with and through his disciples, because Jesus and the Holy Spirit would continue would dwell in his people. In short, Jesus is here and now in those who commit to follow him as his disciples. Jesus is here and now, here today, as we are God's people, as his living stones, as his temples here at Killarney Park, in the Killarney community. Can I hear an amen to that? Amen. So Jesus is here and now. Reading these narratives, as I said, we're no doubt probably taken aback by the immediacy of the responses by Andrew, Simon, James, John, and Philip. Most of us, I think, would relate to Nathanael's response with a little cynicism until a claim is proven. And we know there are many, many, many claims out there about divinity and God and what to believe in, and different spiritualities. This is a little bit of an aside, but going back to our top 10 resolutions, and personal health being at the top of the list, there have been many exercise equipment that have made claims to improve our health. And here's the question, did any of us here are willing to admit that we actually at one point in time purchased one of these exercise equipment? We have the infamous TireMaster. We have the VibroBelt, where basically you don't have to do anything and you sit in your couch and it just kind of shakes your weight around. You have the ab lounger. That is just a chiropractic nightmare, don't you think? And then my personal favorite, the sauna suit, where essentially you wear this suit and as you exercise, you will sweat out your fat. As you can tell, I'm being facetious. But admit, a lot of people have bought these products thinking that they will fulfill the claim to which they were promoted with. See, the prophecy of the coming Messiah, when we think about Andrew and Simon and James and John and Philip, the prophecy of the coming Messiah was well known to these Jewish men. We read it in Numbers 24, verse 17 to 19. I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star will come out of Jacob. A scepter will rise out of Israel. A ruler will come out of Jacob. Psalm 2, verse 7 to 9. You are my son. Today I have become your father. Ask of me, and I will make the nations your inheritance, the ends of the earth your possession. You will rule them with an iron scepter. You will dash them to pieces like pottery. Again, back to the prophet Isaiah 42, verse 1 and 4. Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations. He will not falter or be discouraged till he establishes justice on earth. These are the many prophecies about who and there would be a coming Messiah. One could say that Jesus' first followers were socialized to anticipate the Messiah, and that furthermore, Nathanael's attitude revealed the skepticism brought about by the failures of others who claimed to be the Messiah. But the difference found in Jesus, and I urge you to look this up, the difference found in Jesus is he does not make the claim to Messiahship himself. Rather, it is by others who have encountered him. Even John the Baptist does not refer to him as the Messiah, but as the Lamb of God, recognizing that what is Jesus' purpose? To be the sacrificial lamb who would bear the sins of humanity. It is the Holy Spirit's revelation in the hearts of these men that they recognize Jesus as the Anointed One. I think this passage today reinforces the notion that when people have a true encounter with Jesus, they can't help but acknowledge his power, his authority, grace, mercy, peace, and salvation. You know, as stated last week, 47% of Canadians are spiritually uncertain, and 19% are non-religious. In BC, the percentage of non-religious increases to 41%. We have more Nathanaels than Andrews, Simons, James, Johns, and Philips. Nathanael's interaction with Jesus is a call to believers and followers of Jesus that following Jesus is not about proving a concept, but living the difference that Jesus makes in our lives. When followers of Jesus live as they have encountered the living God, no doubt others around us will take notice. Like Philip, in encountering the living God, we recognize the authority and divinity of Jesus, prompting us to humbly follow. I want to just put this thought out there, that perhaps, and immediately, these are helpful, I'm sure. But I did recognize that why were they not in the top 10 resolutions of Christians? That perhaps following Jesus is not about resolving to pray more, to evangelize more, to attend church more often, to tithe more or serve more, because I think they could be self-defeating. And maybe make us feel bad or worse about being Christians and what is, you know, can be deemed as failure in our Christian walk. Or rather, perhaps what we read in this passage is that following Jesus as we have encountered him is really what makes the difference in our lives and in the lives of others who seek purpose and meaning, are broken and disheartened. Today we saw, when you came in, you saw the new banner that we have. I hope you all saw it. And on this banner are our four rallying points that our church have discerned together for what it is going to aspire us to live holy and fully as God's people, as a congregation here, but also in our community and beyond. We want to aspire to be people who pray, because prayer connects us. It doesn't say on there, we are going to pray more. It's not on there. The other one we have is shalom across generations. We believe that a church should involve and embrace all generations, rather than segregating our youth and our young adults and our senior adults, but rather we all can learn and grow together in our belonging and our believing and our becoming. In fact, I really would like to encourage us today, perhaps some of us, when we talk about belief, that maybe is something that is we know it. And we believe it. And perhaps it's been so part of our lives. Like when I reflect on the fact that I've been following Jesus for 30 years. And it feels so far removed when I first had my first encounter with Jesus. But I encourage us, I think, today that in order to strengthen our belief. Because I think, like most of us, we have days where our belief is really strong. And then there are days where our belief is weak. And we need to be able to come together and strengthen each other and encourage one another. Because sometimes when I am weak, my brother or sister may be strong. And when they are weak, maybe that day my belief is strong. And we encourage one another. So I want to invite us to share those times. And we ask ourselves, when did you first believe? How did you believe? What brought you to put your faith in Jesus? So that leads us to the other rallying point, which is the building one another up, is sharing our stories of our belief. And I think if anything more than, I think one of the ways that we can connect with people today who are non-religious is they want to have the question answered, why do you believe in Jesus? I know it feels a little odd, because it can feel like they could be, you know, judging you or waiting to make fun of you. Well, I honestly believe that people want to know, why do you believe in Jesus? And lastly, and so again, going back to the resolution thing, it doesn't say on the banner there, believe more, because we can't make you believe more, you know? Like, or make you believe. Doesn't work that way. But I think we want to be able to share with one another why we believe. And then the last one there is bridging cultures for Jesus. And that goes back to this idea of answering the question why we believe. We're not just crossing into cultures for the sake of wanting to become multicultural or wanting to move and social engineer into intercultural, but rather the fact that we recognize that we live in a world that is multicultural. But multicultural, promotes this idea of tolerance and accommodation and coexistence. But intercultural actually moves beyond that into how we are integrating our lives together. So, again, going back to the banner, it doesn't say, you know, we're going to be more intercultural, because we can't be more intercultural. It doesn't work that way. So all that to say that as we end our time in this time of message, I invite us to reflect on these questions. Have you had an encounter with the living Christ today? And if you have not, would you like to? What difference has following Jesus made in your life? Should someone who did not know you, met you for the first time today, would they know that you are a Christ follower? Will you join me in praying? Father God, I just thank you for this morning. Lord, we are just amazed by this passage. We're just so amazed by your call on your people, your call on the first disciples, Andrew, Simon, James, John, Philip, Nathaniel. And perhaps one of the reasons we see these narratives is because we can see ourselves in one of these men who chose to follow you and obey, who recognized your son Jesus for who he is, that he wasn't just a rabbi or a good teacher or a miracle worker, but indeed he is the Son of God. He is your Son. And so, Lord, we pray today, let us be reminded of the time, of the day to which we ourselves came to that space and that place. And we trust it was your Holy Spirit who revealed to us, either in Scripture or through meeting other Christians, that truly what the Scripture says about the Son of God, that said about your Son Jesus, is true. May we, Lord, today, as we seek to be faithful believers, not place so much emphasis on striving to pray more, do more, serve more, tithe more. That's not what it's about. But rather, Lord, that we seek to live out our lives because of the difference you have made in it. And that all of those motivations to pray, to give, to tithe, to serve, all that comes out of from our love and the recognition of who your Son is, the Anointed One. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.